Welcome back to our study of Genesis. We are in chapter 20 of Genesis, and we started reading chapter 20. And if you'll remember, we're right at the point where Abraham is having a discussion with Abimelech. And remember, Abraham had told Sarah, his wife, to tell anybody, you know, listen, you're my sister. She was so beautiful. And so Abimelech, the king of Gerar, had taken Sarah. And God came to him in a dream. And he basically said, listen, this woman is married to Abraham. And God said, you're in trouble, buddy. You're a dead man walking, in essence. You got to make this right. And so, in verse 12, and yet indeed, okay, so Abraham's trying to explain all this to King Abimelech. And yet indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother.
So when Abimelech confronted Abraham, he said, well, she really is my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And how he had been, that had an agreement when he left his country and went into strange land, that Sarah would say that, instead of saying that she was his wife, would say that his sister, because she was so beautiful, he was afraid the people of the land would kill him in order to take her as a wife. Okay.
And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them to Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife.
So to appease all this, you understand God has already dealt with Abimelech. And so Abimelech brings this gift to Abraham of sheep and cattle and servants that he gives to him. And he says, now take your wife back.
And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you.
And so, you know, Abimelech doesn't just run him out of the land, but he tells him, look, the land's before you. You just settle in the land where you want to. Now, something to remember about this is this. Remember, Abimelech is the king of Gerar, which is in the Philistine. That's a Philistine city, so this is the land of the Philistines. And remember that God has told Abraham that wherever he goes, that he's, you know, that he's going to possess the land. So this land of the Philistines eventually became the property of the nation of Israel. Okay.
And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to you a covering of the eyes, and unto all that are with you, and with all other. Thus she was reproved.
So after giving this gift to Abraham, Abimelech addresses Sarah, and he says, look, I've given to your brother 1,000 pieces of silver to compensate you for all that's occurred, and to vindicate your honor before all those who are with you. So he's saying, now because of this, you're now vindicated. Okay.
So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bore children, for the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech, because of Sarah, Abraham's wife.
This shows you the ripple effect of that deception of where Abraham is presenting Sarah as his sister instead of his wife. God is keeping his covenant thing, and he does not want that mingled in any way or hampered in any way. And so he afflicts the household of Abimelech, his wife, all his female slaves, and so they can't bear children. And God had told, if you remember, God had told Abimelech in a dream that Abraham was a prophet, and he would pray for him. So Abraham prays for Abimelech, and the result of that prayer is that their wounds, when his wounds are open to where they can now have children. And so this was a pretty serious thing that occurred because of the deception. Deception always has ramifications, doesn't it?
Mm.
But God divinely intervened in this case. Now, something too to note here is, as an individual, Abraham and Abimelech, there's not a hostility at this time between them. It's later on with the seed, as that seed grows and Israel becomes a nation, that there's hostility between the Philistines and between the Israelites, major hostility. And you see that really to the forefront as when when Samson is a judge of Israel, and then later on with Saul and David, who were kings of Israel, many battles with the Philistine people.
Chapter 21. This records God's faithfulness to Sarah, the birth of Isaac, the weaning of Isaac, Ishmael's mocking, Sarah's request, Abraham's response, and God's instruction. Verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken.
And if you remember, God has told Abraham that in the appointed time, set time, we could say 9-month pregnancy, okay, that there's going to be a seed. And so God does not want anything to happen, he said, out of Abraham's loins and out of Sarah, not out of Abimelech or anyone else, okay? And so this is why God divinely intervened. So God's word to Abraham is coming to pass. It's the set time. God said, I'll visit you. And how's God visiting? He's visiting with the birth of a son. That's the visitation of God there, okay?
For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him.
And so, Sarah, obviously, you have to become pregnant before there's a delivery, right?
Yeah.
And so God's kept his word to Abraham. She becomes pregnant. And which is actually remarkable when you look at their age and you consider the fact that she's been barren all her life and not able to conceive. And now an 89-year-old woman becomes pregnant. You don't see that very often. Right?
Yeah, that's the truth. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac.
And so when this baby's born, God had already named this baby. So, which I find interesting, that when God first spoke to Abraham, said, out of your loins is going to come this child, and Abraham laughed.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the Lord and the two angels there at the tent, they were talking and said, at this time next year, basically, my paraphrase, Sarah's going to have a baby. And Sarah laughed in her heart. And so Isaac's name means laughter.
Yeah.
So laugh about it the rest of your life. Every time you call his name, laughter. Okay? God's good for his word.
Mm-hmm.
In which he brought laughter to them, you understand.
And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him.
Remember, the seal of the covenant that God had made with Abraham was that on the eighth day, every male child was to be circumcised to demonstrate they were in covenant with God. Okay, so Abraham has Isaac circumcised on the eighth day. Yeah, and let me just say this right here. Isaac, in so many ways, is a foreshadow and type of Christ. Okay, Jesus was circumcised the eighth day also, you understand. But we're going to see some things as we go through here that there's a lot of similarities that actually open the door to give God legal entry into the earth, giving dominion, okay?
And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born.
Now, that's significant. Remember these ages and you can do some math. And you can figure out some other ages as a result of that. So Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. How old was Abraham when Ishmael was born?
86.
So then how old would Ishmael be when Isaac was born?
14.
Not hard. 14? And so he's a teenager when Isaac is born. Just bear that in mind. That's when Isaac is born. He's 14 years old. Or thereabout, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Sarah said, God has made me to laugh so that all here will laugh with me.
So Sarah says, God's brought me laughter.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who hears that I gave birth to a son in my old age, they'll laugh. You know, if an 89-year-old woman told me she was pregnant, I'd laugh. When she gave birth, I'd laugh with her. You understand?
I was thinking about this laughter today. And, you know, the promises of God, we can laugh. We can laugh in a mocking way of, oh, that's not going to come to pass. Or we can laugh and enjoy, you know, for the joy of the word of the Lord that's been spoken that will come to pass. And because of this child's birth, we too should be laughing, shouldn't we? Because there's joy that comes to us out of this blessing. We're part of this blessing too. Verse 7, and she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age?
How many people would believe that a 90-year-old woman gave birth to a son? Pretty phenomenal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God's pretty phenomenal.
He is, isn't he? And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned.
Now, here again, think about this. Isaac is growing from infancy until the time he's weaned. All right, then how long is that? We don't have an exact date, but you think of the culture, and you think of a mother nursing the child, and so you have to look at that and add that to 14, okay? And probably somewhere around 2 years old would be a guess, okay? They nurse longer in other cultures than they do in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That's their source of milk, you understand. Everybody can't run to the grocery store or Mixer Similac or whatever. Okay.
Yeah. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac.
So Ishmael's probably somewhere between 15 and 16 years old. He's a teenager. You understand? And in that culture, you're already experiencing manhood, right? And so he's laughing, mocking, disdaining Isaac. And Sarah sees it, and she becomes irate. You get rid of that slave and that boy. You get rid of them. They will not be an heir with Isaac. Well, Ishmael's Abraham's son. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so it grieves Abraham when he hears what Sarah's saying, because that's not what he's wanting to do. Okay.
Verse 11. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Verse 12.
So, God appears to Abraham and tells him to honor Sarah's request. You understand? Cast her out. Even though Abraham's not happy with that decision, God tells him to get rid of Hagar. He said the seed will come through Isaac. It's not coming through Ishmael. It's coming through Isaac. Well, the people that don't understand that, they need to read this, okay? The seed comes through the promise, not through the flesh. Always. What God is producing will come through the promise, not through the flesh. And so God's telling Abraham to do what Sarah said. Cast out the woman. Get rid of Hagar and Ishmael. Separate them from your family. Now, you know, you've got to read the whole story. Or you think that is, the most cruel thing, and Abraham just abandoned and all that. But if you read all this in the life of Abraham, you'll find that there was evidently communication between he and Ishmael. Ishmael and Isaac married Abraham. You understand? Both sons there. And so the problem is later on with what they produce. Ishmael's seed hates Isaac's seed, and Isaac's seed is hostile toward them. So now you have flesh versus spirit. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is all about. I'm telling you, it's type, it's pointing to New Covenant. And so what God is saying, get the flesh out of the way. It's the promise, the thing of the Spirit. What the Spirit has spoken is what's going to reproduce. I don't want anything to do with the flesh. So get rid of the flesh. So that's what he's saying. When he's saying Hagar and Ishmael, he's saying get rid of what the flesh produced. Okay?
Verse 13, and he also of the son of the bondwoman will, he said, I will make a nation because he is your seed.
Now, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
God says, you get rid of the flesh. You get it out of the presence of the promise. But because Ishmael is your seed, because of God's promise to Abraham, he said that he would bless Ishmael because he was the seed of Abraham. And so Ishmael becomes a nation. You with me? Dwelling among his brother. Wild man. Against everybody, everybody against him. Boy, you seeing that today in the Middle East. You understand? This is the result of what flesh has done. But yet, God honors Abraham. It's not that God just annihilated Ishmael and Hagar. God actually blessed them because of Abraham. Isn't that amazing?
You know, you think about, we've said many times about Abraham as somebody that we can learn so much from. And we all have to come to a point in our life where we all do come to a point in our life where we have to choose to follow spirit and let go of the flesh. And for many of us, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Letting go of that flesh. It was hard. That's his son that he loves. He had to be willing to let go. And we're going to find out a little bit later here, even more than that. He has to be willing to even lay down the promise.
But you know, you find, even as with an individual, that a person that chooses to walk in the Spirit and follow the ways of God, God will bless them naturally as well.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
He does, doesn't he? Verse 14, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba.
Now, this is something about Abraham. When God spoke to him, he acted promptly.
Yes.
Early in the morning, he gets up to carry out God's mandate. And he makes some provision. He gives some bread. He gives water. And then he sends them out in the wilderness or away from Isaac. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so what's Hagar doing? They're wandering. Maybe no sense of direction. I don't know what the deal is, but wandering in the wilderness, okay? Frustrated because of what's happened, obviously.
And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept.
Now, this is a lesson for us here. If you go back to the very time, to the beginning when Hagar got pregnant and was disrespectful to Sarah, and Sarah dealt hard with her, harshly, and Hagar ran away. And the angel of the Lord met her and spoke to her, gave her a promise concerning that son, Ishmael. God named him and said how he would become a nation. But when she gets in adverse circumstances, she forgets the promise. And it's like people today. God speaks to your heart. God gives you a promise. God gives you an instruction or a mandate. And the circumstances don't agree with that, the adverse circumstance. And what do people do? They lay down the promise.
Yeah.
And walk away from the promise. And that's exactly what Hagar did. Now you understand, Ishmael is a teenager. So it's not like she's carrying an infant in her arms. And she takes him, puts him under a shrub there, I guess to protect him from the elements, from the sun, whatever. They're out of water. And then she walks off a bow shot, a pretty good shot. So she walks off a pretty good ways from him, but she can see him. And she doesn't want to see him die. And then she starts crying. Then we'll pick up with the story, okay?
And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in your hand, and I will make him a great nation.
Now notice this. God heard the boy cry. Not Hagar crying. God heard the voice of the promise. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Ishmael's a promise. God heard the promise. God's not going to let the promise perish. He's going to look out after the promise. And so he deals with Hagar. What ails you? What's wrong with you? That seems like a sort of hard statement, mm-hmm. considering the circumstances. But he tells her, he said, don't be afraid. I heard the voice of the boy. Now get up, and you go get that boy. You embrace him, and I'm going to make a great nation of him. In other words, he's bringing to her remembrance the promise that had been made many years earlier. But she forgot the promise, evidently. And God is just refreshing her memory. The bottom line is, I said I was going to make a nation out of him.
Mm-hmm.
He'll become a great nation.
And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink.
Now, I want you to think about this. Why didn't she see that well of water before? You can get so caught up in your circumstances that you can't see the provision.
Mm-hmm.
And so, first off, God deals with her circumstance. Go get the boy. He's going to become a nation. And her eyes are open to water that was there, but she hadn't seen it. You understand? A lot of times God has to get our mind off of this so we can see that.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer.
And so they get the water, they get refreshed, and then they evidently stay there in that particular area of Beersheba. And Ishmael grows and lives there, becomes an archer.
Mm-hmm.
Am I ahead of you?
No, I was behind. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt.
And so they're living in the wilderness of Paran. And remember, Hagar's an Egyptian, right? And so she takes him, she goes to Egypt, she gets an Egyptian woman for her son. And so Ishmael marries an Egyptian woman. His mama's an Egyptian, his wife is an Egyptian. Okay?
And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spoke unto Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do.
Now, after this event, Abimelech, remember who Abimelech is? And Phicol, who's his, what we would call the general of the army, I suppose, they went to Abraham and they told him, they said, it's obvious God's with you. In other words, Abraham is being blessed. And so they're seeing the blessing of God on Abraham. Okay?
Now therefore, swear unto me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done to you, you shall do to me, and to the land wherein you have sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear.
Now remember, Abimelech's a king. He's a king of the city. In other words, there's several people in the city, you understand. But he sees how God's blessing Abraham, and he thinks, you know, we could be in trouble because he's multiplying and, you know, he can overpower us. So he said to him, I want you to swear to me that, my paraphrase, that you'll treat me as good and my seed as I've treated you, that you'll be good to me. And so Abraham said, okay, and he swore to that. And then you'll see, we'll go on and read and see how this actually occurs.
And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of the well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I want not who has done this thing, neither did you tell me, neither yet have I heard of it, but today.
Abraham said, all right, I'll swear that I'll treat you good, but I want you to know that your servants, what they did on the well, I dug. And Abimelech said, well, nobody told me about it. In other words, there's nothing I can do about it. You didn't tell me about it. Okay?
And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant.
And so Abraham takes sheep, cattle, and gives them to Abimelech. What is this? We're dealing with a covenant here.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a blessing to Abimelech, and it says a covenant was established between Abraham and Abimelech. Okay?
And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves, and Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shall you take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have dug this well.
So Abraham set 7 female animals. And Abimelech says, what's this all about? Now the 7 there, it's significant. These 7 female sheep, this is significant because Abraham says, I dug this well. These 7 sheep right here is used, you're swearing that I dug this well. Do you know the word swear is to 7 oneself? If you look at the definition of swear, it's to 7 oneself. Okay? The oath. And so then they take this oath that Abraham dug this well. So now Abimelech's servants cannot stake claims on that well. That's Abraham's well. Okay? So that's the significance of these 7 ewe or 7 female lambs.
Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swore, both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba, and Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines.
Note what Abraham called the place? Beersheba.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the oath that was made between Abraham and Abimelech. And so after they make this covenant, Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, returned to the land of the Philistines. You got that? They returned to the land of the Philistines.
So Beersheba, it means well of the 7, or well of the oath. And in And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days.
So Abraham planted a grove just simply means a group of trees. A grove could be a group of trees, an orchard, whatever. And so he plants these in Beersheba, and then it says he called on the name of the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, and God, El, and then everlasting, which by definition is eternal. I think the Hebrew word is something like Olam or something of that effect. So Jehovah, El Olam. Okay? God, eternal. That's who he called on. The eternal God. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
The only eternal God. That's a good stopping place. It's just time to take a break, and we'll pick back up with chapter 22.
Okay.